It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Clexton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
He's bound it down, loaded up and trucking. Are we going to do what they say can be done?
Welcome to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Clexton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. The show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet. Serving Mobile since 1939. Alabama Pipe and Supply and Ed's Seafood Shed.
Ed's Seafood Shed will return.
And it will return.
It will return bigger and better than it was before. And got great food. Hey, I think they're even talking about maybe. I heard something about a temporary Ed's.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like maybe another little location to do Ed's.
Type
food and service and all until the new place gets built. So you never know. Hey, they give all their employees a chance to go to work at the other restaurants.
Yep.
And, as far as the ones that wanted to go, and I haven't heard a count as to how many did, but, they had good people and they don't want to lose them. And that's a big thing this day and time.
Well, yeah. I mean, and that's the biggest challenge for most businesses right now is to get help. It's a challenge even where I'm at, and while we're on the subject, we're actually looking for some service techs right now.
Okay.
So
that's cool.
From entry level to, if we got the right guy, we'll make room anywhere.
If he's capable of working on a car and get some experience, mm-hmm. a decent resume.
Yeah.
And I guess he's got to pass a drug test. That's, okay.
That's
the problem. Bad mouth nobody, but we got a lot of our people can't pass that damn drug test,
I have known people to leave to take one and never come back. I don't know, but.
I wonder why.
Yeah. Anyway, that's okay. No, that's all right.
That's like when you tell a guy, say, look, now I need you to go down tomorrow and take a drug test. So, and the guy comes in, he's got his hair shaved, and you go, oh, what's that deal?
Yeah.
Well, you told me I was going to have to go get a drug test. You got to go check my hair, too.
Mm-hmm.
He said, don't you think you got hair in other places on your body?
Right, right, right.
Hey, don't you know?
And nails and whatever.
You can get it anywhere.
Trust me.
That's just let that stuff get out of hand, man.
Oh yeah, yeah, but
and they don't stop to realize it. Hey, here you go. You can't hire somebody that can't pass the drug test because they might be test driving one of the customer's car.
Well, I mean, and all joking aside, it's too important, because first off, we have. Heavy vehicles on lifts.
Oh yes,
and I need everybody paying attention.
Right,
heads up. I don't need anybody hurt.
Heads up. Yeah,
yourself or someone else. Plus, you're out on the highways driving customers' cars. So, I need you alert and
right
capable.
Right.
So, it's
I've got a buddy that's got excuse me. still trying to get over this dang sinus crap.
Yeah.
But I got a buddy that's got some trucks and, hired drivers. And, you send 10 people over to, take a drug test, and one of them might pass.
Maybe, yeah.
And then they're going to want to run a test on them every year. Mm-hmm. Or they might just walk out there one day, the guy's been there 6 months, and say, when you come back in this afternoon, I want you to go get a drug test.
Right.
And then you lose him,
Yeah.
So they got vehicles sitting on the yard that they mm-hmm. can't hire people for because they can't pass a drug test.
Yep.
And that's part of your CDL license. But here's a job where guys can make an easy $1,000 a week.
Right.
To $2,000 to $2,400, $2,800 a week.
Yep.
That's according to where you're having to run, how many miles you're driving.
Right.
But then they can't. They know they can't. You got to pass the drug test, fool. Come on.
Well,
damn it.
And
what about your old lady and youngins if you got any?
Yeah.
Or the 9 girlfriends you might have? Who knows?
it's just like driver's license. one of the key things you got to have if you're going to work on cars. You got to be able to drive it.
Right.
So you got to have a driver's
yeah.
license. And you got to have a clean record.
Right.
You know, because you can only have a very little bit on your record to and be covered by insurance, you know, and it's
your
license is your right to work.
They're not going to let you hire somebody coming out of Kilby to, you know, go out there and work on a car on the line, you know,
and
drive.
You know, if you can't test drive it, and that's a key part of working on a car, I'm not going to test drive every car for somebody.
Hell no.
Ain't
going to
happen.
No.
Yeah.
Well, you got a job to do otherwise.
Well, if I had to do all that, I'd just fix it myself anyway.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So I remember how. You know, back to the subject. If anybody out there, any technicians are looking, you know, come
there
see
you. Go.
See myself or Jerry Smith at UJ Chevrolet.
See the car doctor.
Fill out an application and we'll talk.
There you go.
Anyway, we're running into the employment thing everywhere you go.
Right.
You know? And
in every capacity, whatever it may be. I mean, you know, you can't hire people. When you can't hire people at McDonald's and Dairy Queen and, in those places.
Yep.
In Walmart, and now, you know, people are going up to $15 an hour, like on minimum wages, you know, and I'm going like,
right.
And people don't want to work for that. They'd rather stay at home and collect unemployment.
Well, my morning routine is typically I go through Hardee's, you know, on the way to work, right there on Schillinger's. The people there, they do a good job. But about half the time I pull up there, there's a sign on their little drive-up speaker saying that they're either not going to open until 5:30 or 6 o'clock in the morning, or they're going to be closing at 1 or 1:30, or, you know, they're going to be closed at 5.
That's according to what shifts they can feel, huh?
Depends on what shifts they can feel. They typically try and get opened up in the mornings because breakfast is their big deal.
You know, well, I would think that's probably the biggest part of their day.
You know, it's tough, you know, and I'll give them a shout-out because they typically do a pretty good job of that. I find myself being a lot more understanding of this than I used to be.
Are you very lenient with your opinions?
I really try to be. You know, I do. But I did lose my cool here a little over a week ago. And
No, the car doctor.
Yeah.
The car doctor would lose his cool.
I think we talked about it a little bit last week.
When you drive away from a place.
After I've been there an hour and I drive away and have not gotten anything, I was not happy.
No, I'm not saying.
Hey, you know, if y'all just can't do it, just tell me when I get there.
Right, yeah.
At least have a sign out front. You ain't got to hire nobody to stand out there. Just put a sign out there and say, hey, we can't make this happen.
Right.
So I'll go on down the road. I'll find something else.
Well,
okay.
I sit in a line, me and my lady sit in a line for about 20 minutes, and not the first car moved in front of our line. I'm going like, and there's like 8 or 10 cars there. I said, I'm going to
do the math here, and I can't
wait
this long.
I don't think we got all afternoon. I said, you know. And she said, well, let's go to Morrison's. So we went to Morrison's. We stood in line, but we kept moving.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And we had good food.
And you could look up there and you could see food there. So
I could see the food. You know, I could smell the food and I could see people moving.
Yeah.
And I could see them taking the money up there at the cash register. Well, I'm going like, okay, I can do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I, you know, when I have to sit and wait in line and I can't see inside, I'm going like, what the hell are they doing?
Yeah.
So then I had the same scenario. We're going through a line here over the weekend. I said, well, we're waiting this damn long. At least our food will be hot because they're having to take a long time to cook it.
Yeah, you know? That usually ain't the case.
No. And we got to the window, and she put her hand in the bag on those, you know, on those sandwiches. She says, oh, no, these are cold. These sandwiches aren't hot. I said, well, I'm not waiting another hour. The hell with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's go home and zap them in the microwave.
right.
Yeah.
I tell you. It's,
but you shouldn't have to do that.
Shouldn't have to do that. You know, it's, you know, hey, I'm so tired of going through a drive-thru at lunch. I can't stand it.
You know what bothers me is, well, number one, the whole scenario right now that is going on bothers me. But on the other hand, how much of this is going to carry over to the rest of our years? Now, I don't have as many years left on this earth as you two guys do.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I can probably get along with it because I ain't punching the clock. I'm not in no hurry to get to any place, you know. Like you guys have got to go to work. Y'all, mm-hmm. You know, you're still working for a living. You're still hustling for the buck.
Right.
But how much of this crap's going to carry over? We already see the used car lots are just about gone.
Right, right.
How many of them you see closed, you know?
You know, there's there are companies here in the States that are gearing up to build the chips and stuff we need. I still can't believe that we let that get to the point to where we didn't have control of our own destiny.
We learned that's an expensive lesson.
Somewhere else, yes. You know? Other countries doing that. So I think they've learned their lesson there. They're going to correct that. But it's still going to take a little while.
Yep. Well, we're going to a break.
Yep.
When you come back, I want to tell you what's happening with Home Depot and Costco.
Okay.
In that regard.
Sounds good. We're going to take a break and let you hear from sponsors.
Let's fix some dang cars. Somebody got a car problem.
If not, we'll talk about something. You never know. So.
But your thoughts will soon be wandering the way they always do.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, you heard the story of the hot rod race that fatal day when the Ford and the Mercury went out to play. Well, this is the inside story, and I'm here to say it was a kid that was driving that Model A.
Yeah, well, welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Ramko, along with Tom Claxton. You have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But anyway, we were talking a little bit about the chip issue in the States.
Right,
but,
right.
You know, and it's not actually hitting all the manufacturers, and believe it or not, it's like some of the foreign brands.
Well, they've got their own chip stuff. Yeah.
Well, it's, you know, their country
they got their own sources,
you know,
over there.
That's supplying them, and they may have an inside line on some of that stuff.
I believe they do. Yeah.
So, you know, which, you know, I guess they're gonna supply their folks first, I guess.
Well, you know, that being said, and we talked about a while ago about stuff is built overseas and all that. In the paper over the weekend, there was an article in there, and it also was on the internet today, that Costco has leased them three container ships, and leased a 1,000 containers,
mm-hmm.
so that they can make sure that they get their supplies in from Asia and other markets.
Mm.
But the first thing they said was Asia and the other markets.
Right.
So that tells you where a lot of our stuff is coming from, you know, is out of the Asian markets, you know.
Well, and the question is, though, is what port you going to bring them into?
Well,
because you can't bring it in through L.A., you know, they've got 40 ships sitting out there
waiting to come in. They're all sitting out there. But, well, good. They might bring them into Mobile, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Bring them on. You know, we got ports here, and we're already doubling our darn container port, doubling our container space area down there to where people can you know, where they can put the containers and use all the trucks.
Right.
It's just pitiful. You only got one damn road into the container port.
Well,
it's unbelievable. We got one road entrance to the container port.
Yeah.
And, you know, and all of them have to go under the interstate that's in Virginia Street. So it's like it's Virginia or Texas.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
I don't know.
It's unbelievable.
And they worked on some of that, but it's still one way in, one way out. But at least the trip in and out
right.
is a little better.
Well, they said that they were doing what Home Depot had already started doing.
Right.
So that would give you an indication where a lot of our products are coming from. But then, even then, though, they said that would only be about 20% of their actual supply. But they didn't want to get in a position where the supply and demand hurt them with having products to sell.
Right, right.
You know, but when they buy their own or lease their own container ships and lease 1,000 containers, that tells you, you know, how much we're depending on these foreign countries to build our products.
Right, right.
You know.
And, you know, and it definitely happens. I mean, and unfortunately, you can't change it overnight.
No.
You know, because, okay, if companies just say, Costco decides, okay, we're going all U.S.-made product.
Right.
Well,
they won't need but half of the store.
Yeah.
Start with.
because, yeah. I mean, there's nothing we can't build here, but
right.
it takes time to get geared up to build stuff.
Well, and you got, well yeah. it, so here we go. We're talking about the, we're going back to the chips. I mean, that's like 2 years to build a plant that it can produce chips into volume that could be shipped out to the local car
right.
Manufacturers, you know, 2 years to make that work.
Right, right. So, yeah. you know, and I don't know how smart it was to ever relinquish that control over your own product, but,
you know.
Yeah. You know, and just like General Motors and Ford and Chrysler and Fiat, you know, they're worldwide companies. They're not just
right.
U.S. companies.
That's right.
Because they sell product all over the world.
And they actually have manufacturing plants all over the world.
They manufacture vehicles all over the world.
Yeah.
And, you know, you would think that they'd look at that and say, well, okay, it's a little cheaper to buy it this way.
It's all about the bottom line.
But you got to keep control of the ability to produce mm-hmm. those for sure. So, but anyway, they're correcting it, and it's going to get better.
Well, let's get back to cars. So,
but
I think we're going to see some changes in our car sales deals. Aaron, you highlighted it some last mm-hmm. week when we were talking about it on the amount of cars that would be on the ground at the dealerships and all. And now you see Tesla's coming out, and Tesla doesn't want to sell their cars through dealerships. They want to sell them through a sales division of Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
And saying like a couple of the states have said, no, they can't. I know Louisiana's one said they can't sell a car in Louisiana.
Right.
But you can buy it in Mississippi and bring it over there and drive it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, therefore, they have a Tesla auto repair center in New Orleans.
Right.
Now, one of the other states, I tell you, it was Arizona, one of the other southwestern states, they went in and made a deal with our Indian brothers that have the reservations, and they set up a dealership on the reservation.
Yeah, yeah.
So the federal government doesn't control that.
They don't have control over that one.
Now the only thing they'll do is they'll say, well, if you buy a car in that county or that reservation or that town or whatever they're going to call it, then we can't sell you a tag. So what are you going to do?
Well, they're going to get their money.
Well, it's like the government's trying to, you know, they know they can't take our guns, so what do?
Right.
They screw up our ammunition supply.
Well, and the problem I have with, you know, the sales is very important. It's a key part of what we do.
Okay? Right.
But, you know, back to the old saying that, you know, sales sells the first vehicle, service sells the rest of the vehicles
right.
to that
right.
customer.
That's so true.
Know? So if you're just selling a car, you know, over the internet, you have nothing to draw that customer back
mm-hmm.
except for a bad experience, because guess what? You know, how often do we get calls or cars pulled in there that broke down today and they got to have it today?
Right. Oh, yeah.
So what if tomorrow, you know, if you're in Shreveport and the service center's in New Orleans,
mm-hmm.
you're 3 days out from ever getting that car
oh, yes.
looked at it under the best circumstances.
Well, there's a lot of variables that had to be considered, mm-hmm. you know, of potential problems. I really don't see how you could put a car on the market and not have service facilities and our dealerships available. Because,
mm-hmm.
If I was going to buy one of the cars, I'd like to be able to drive it in one day, look and see the brand new car out there on tomorrow. Ooh, I like that one. What you give me for mine? I want to trade. Let's
right.
go. I want that one. I want to leave here with it.
Right.
Well, you can't do that.
Yeah.
And then you have a lot of impulse buying.
Exactly. And there will be some of that, because there will be there's always going to be cars on the lot at your traditional dealers. It may not be to the level it was before.
Right.
But you know, it is.
That could cut back some.
Yeah.
That could cut back some, you know. You see dealerships. I see dealerships look like they've got 200 brand-new vehicles on the lot.
Right.
I mean, they're one big old service building sitting in the middle, 200 new cars and 300 used cars, you know.
Yeah, you know, it's – and Ford's going that way, and especially with their specialty vehicles, you know, like the Mustangs and that kind of stuff. You know, it's a you know, order.
Special order deal
as you go to even get one. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're not going to keep those on.
Right.
I don't know. I just don't I don't know if I like that a whole lot because I like the personal touch part of it.
Oh, sure, yeah. Sure, yeah. Well, it's, you know, it's like I said a while ago, though, Kev. This pandemic has brought out numerous things that we are not accustomed to that are going to be normal in the months and years to come.
Right, right. And, you know, that's one of those things that's going to change. You know, it's going to be a little different than what we've been used to. But, you know, we'll get used to it. It'll work.
Yep.
You know, we'll make it happen. But, you know, I just I like the personal relationship with the customers.
Sure.
And being able to come
in. I
want to
know who's working on my car.
Well, you know, and we're getting some of it now where people are – they get on the internet and they look and they find the best deal they can find on a vehicle. Well, you know, yeah, we're going to work on it, you know, if you bring it to us to get worked on. But it may not be ahead of the customers that did buy from us.
Right.
You know, so, you know, we're going to prioritize our customers.
Well, you got to take care of your regular customers, people that, you know, you sold the product to. And with your service, you're going to bring them back to you to buy another product, you know.
Right.
Are you going to take care of the other vehicles? Hell yeah.
You
know, you're not going to put them in front of your regular customers.
Yeah.
You know, they got to get in line.
They're going to get in line. And you know, just like our regular customers that make appointments.
Well, they're in line.
They're going to get in line, but they're going to get in ahead of the other ones that didn't.
Right.
So, you know, it's I don't know. It's tough to have to do that. But, you know, especially we have limited personnel, we got to get take care of the people we got to take care of. So, but anyway, yeah, we do have a text message here from Rapid Ray about
Superman
losing some coolant in his little 99 GMC Safari. They pressure tip, no leaks, put dye in the radiator. Any thoughts? Well, one thing is I would drive it about a week or so, have them recheck, you know, check for that dye, you know, check it with a black light. If it's losing coolant, it's got to be going somewhere. And on the 99 model, I'd be willing to bet you it's probably intake gaskets.
That was where I was waiting for you to get through.
Yeah, but yep. You know, I would have them look close because it can seep out over a period of time, and it's almost impossible to see.
And for God's sake, don't put any stop leak in it.
Yeah, don't put a stop leak in it. That's always bad. But anyway, it sounds like it's time for us to take a break, and we're going to let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
I'm looking through my windshield when the sun is coming up. I'm proud to say I drive a truck. I don't think that I could sit there in an office every day, knowing out there somewhere there's a white line.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Remke along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But,
Can I talk about pet peeves?
Sure.
Looks like, you know, everybody's car is fixed and ready to roll.
Yeah.
I had occasion today to be in a shop. And they were working on the front end of it, on the brakes and all. And I didn't ask any questions. I try not to be too nosy when you're in somebody else's shop.
You just try to be quiet.
I try to be quiet, keep them getting thrown out of there.
I don't believe in not being nosy part.
But so. I looked at they had the front tires off of it, and were replacing the rotors, and the calipers on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were also replacing the hoses because one of the hoses was locked up, brake lines. But then I looked at the angle of the ball joint, caught my eye, and I went like, what the hell is that? Look up. You know, and then I looked over, and here they've got like a 2-inch spacer they're putting, this is on the front of like a Chevrolet Tahoe or something.
Yeah.
And they had put 2-inch spacers on the hub to set the wheels out.
Right.
And then I got to looking, and they got back away from there a little bit, and I got up there and looked. Somebody put a lift kit on the damn thing.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they haven't changed all of the components that needed to be changed.
Right.
So it's that with that angularity of that upper A-frame, I mean, you're a racer, mm-hmm. and you built race cars. You still build race cars. I've run race cars all my life, and I'm in front of it. I've done car repairs and all that stuff in my shop. I've built race cars, too. And I know how important it is for those upper and lower control arms.
For the geometry of them.
For the geometry of that vehicle, for the camber and caster to work properly and to keep it safe. And also, not this. It would be physically impossible for them to set the camber and caster on that truck.
Right.
They could set the toe in.
Yeah.
You know, you could set the toe in if you're sitting there with the pressure on it. And you could pull the tires in where they would straight, but just in the camber and caster on that.
Right.
Can you imagine the angle that those tires, and all you guys out there that's listening that are techs and garage people and front-end type people, and you know what I'm talking about. Can you imagine the caster and camber on those tires when that vehicle makes a left or a right turn, when the angle on those control arms are so far off?
Right.
It looked like about a 4-inch kit. And I don't see how they did it. Without changing all the stuff.
Right.
And well, then they'll also complain a little bit about some noise from the rear end.
Yeah.
And I'm going like, oh, yeah, you know. Well, I wonder if they changed the pitch of the pinion on the rear end when they did that.
Well, even if they did, half the time they would just put these 4, 5, 6-inch tall blocks on top of the rear end housing, between the rear end housing and the spring, you know. The problem there is, okay, with a spring, you know, at the rear end bolted straight to the spring, you've got pretty good lateral stability because, you know, the way the spring's built.
Right.
You space that rear end 6 inches away from that spring.
Right.
It's going to move side to side. I promise you it's going to. I don't care how much, you know, how tight you got the bolts, how big a spring you got on. It's going to move. Yeah.
How do they expect to keep a drive shaft in a vehicle like that?
Mm-hmm.
When you don't change the pitch on your angle on your pinion,
you'd be surprised how. I actually had somebody bring one in here. I don't know, a couple weeks ago, and their complaint was it had a. I think it was running. I don't remember for sure. It was a running problem at about 60 mph. Tech come to me and said, "I'm not going to drive this one." I said why? I said, "Well, come back here and look at it." I look at it and. Ball joints, tie rods, control arms. It's missing one of the drive axles in the front.
Huh?
What? I'm talking hubs are wore out, tires are gone. I wouldn't have drove this thing 20 mph in the parking lot.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
So it's like, no.
No, I ain't driving it either.
you can come get it. And, you know, if you want to get all this stuff fixed, bring it back, and we'll worry about the drivability issue then. You know, but otherwise, no. I'm not sending one of my guys, or I'm not, and I'll drive.
No.
I'll drive anything, but
no,
I wouldn't drove this.
You still draw. You still draw that line somewhere there, though, about the safety factor. You don't want to get killed, knowingly drive something that's a death trap.
Right. So you know it was a lifted truck and just not done properly. You know, and stuff's wore out. So
no.
You know, and I'd be willing to bet even the one you were talking about, upper control arm was probably bottomed out on the bump
stocks. They look like they were.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I'm looking at that.
Pretty regular.
And
so
I see
no
the angle.
To them.
And I see the angle of that ball joint. I'm going like, I wonder how long that ball joint is going to stay at that angle when the weight of that vehicle is on it before that ball joint breaks off.
Right.
You know, because it's not in a position where the ball joint would oscillate and move.
Right.
It's locked in a position where it's going to get a wear factor from the outer edge of that casing that goes around that upper ball joint.
Yeah, for it to move any further that way, it'd have to bend.
It'd have to bend and or break.
And or break.
Yeah.
So, and it will. So I had one of my friends, you know, close friend that helps us on race cars with things, got a 19 model 2500 Duramax, very nice truck.
Nice ride, yeah.
Very particular about his truck, very picky about the way it rides. Okay. His thing right now is he wanted to raise front of it up to level the truck out. It's like, leave the truck alone.
Right.
It's like, why? It don't look good. It's like, leave your truck alone. Well, what if I buy those, lift keys and do it the right way? I said, leave your truck alone. Mm-hmm. I know how you are, and I promise you, you put those in there, you will kill the way that truck rides.
Mm-hmm.
You will hate your truck from that point forward. Even if you want to raise it up just a little bit, I mean, a half inch something, you can do that with your torsion bars.
Yeah.
You go beyond that, you're done.
Right.
You've topped out to suspension, and it will ride terrible.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes.
They've
designed these things with millions and millions of miles on them. Every time they change a component in that front end and change it where it works under a different angle or position than the older stuff that we're accustomed to, they're going to put one in there, and then they're going to get out there on the street and let people drive it, see how soon it breaks or how bad it tears up,
Well, and one thing I've learned from working on race cars, and I've worked on cars for 40-something years, but, building race cars, you have to be very precise with the front end. And bump steer is a huge issue.
Well, we know it more. Building race cars, unless you're a front-end man and you make a living doing it, we know more about the angularity and all of that precise measurements that you have to have on that front end.
You move that front end geometry is built to run this much camber, this much caster with the toe here.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
The ride height needs to be at a certain place.
It's got to be a certain place. Okay.
You move one thing, and you have changed all that.
Yes.
Okay. You try and raise it up with a bigger spring or let it down with a smaller spring, and you have changed the angle of the upper and lower.
Right.
You have changed your camber gain and loss. The tire's not going to sit where it's supposed to be. You're not going to be able to get there. And if you change your caster more than what it says, you've changed the bump steer to the point to where when you go down the road and you hit a little bump and your car takes off to the right or left, or it just feels weird when it hits that bump, it's because the tires are trying to point where they're not supposed to. They're not staying straight.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's where your bump steer comes in.
That's where bump steer comes in.
Right.
And that's huge. That's
it huge. Is. It's a big factor. I mean, if you build a race car out of that bump steer on it, you're not going to run up front with it.
No.
It'll
be so ill driving you can't stand it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You get
We just went through that with the truck we bought. The bump steer was off on it and corrected that. Huge day and night difference.
Oh, I can imagine.
Day and night difference in the truck. You got it when you run down in the corner and you turn, you need those tires to point where you think they're going
to
point.
They need to be pointing where you want them to point.
Buddy. Right. Not to just do their own thing.
They don't need to be down there plowing.
And that's the thing. if I run down in there and you get, when you say bump steer, basically as the car travels, your tires should stay pointing straight ahead.
Right.
They shouldn't toe in or toe out.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And
it's like a semblance of the same thing with camber and caster.
Right.
If you don't set that right, then that's what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah,
They're pointing. When you make a turn, the tires will start to point in different directions because of of how that works off of the angle of the upper ball joint and the lower ball joint, and are the upper A frames and the lower A frames or how they're built.
Yep.
All that's built in.
Yep. And like I say, it's I see them all the time. They're putting longer control arms on them because they've raised the truck, which sets. Change the whole geometry of the front end, or they've put longer ball joints, which is, hey, if you're on a race car, that's a great thing if you can do all that, okay? But you need to know what you're doing before you do it doing.
What it just tells our listening audience out there is if you're looking for a vehicle, and people are proud of it to say, oh, I've got a 3-inch lift kit or a 2-inch lift kit or 4-inch lift kit on it, you need to turn around and walk away.
Well, if the lift kit is done correctly and it's quality parts.
How many have you seen done correctly?
There's a few out there, but it's.
Oh, it's like a 5% or 10%
And most of the time is people have gone on the internet, found the cheapest 6-inch lift kit they could find, and bolted it on.
They didn't take any of that other stuff into consideration.
They didn't they didn't do it correctly. They found the easiest way to get it up that far.
Well, you know, a lot of them, you start talking about pinion angle or the pitch of the rear, and they go, what's that? You know?
And nowadays, you've got the, what do they call it, the tail draggers out there that they're lowering the back and raising the front.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a whole different story. But, you know, don't do that, people. One thing, it looks
stupid. I like to see people be able to see over their hood when they're driving,
right.
Not having to look out, you know, not having to look out the side of the window to see where they're going.
Well, you know, if you're in front of them, they can't see you.
They can't see you. They would run all over the top of you.
And there's not that much.
And you look back and all you see in your rearview mirror is the damn running gear underneath that thing. That means the front end of it's a lot higher than you. It means they're going to run over you. If you stop too quick, you need to get out of that lane, move another lane.
Right. I know I sound like an old man talking about these kids and the hot rods, but that ain't the deal.
Man, I ain't a sucker in this world of a hot rod better than I do.
Right.
You know, drag cars. And a guy was cranking his motor up today, and he had 383 in it. He said, come listen to this thing, man.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going like, yeah, that's got a nice duration on that cam.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was lift, does it now? That kalaka, kalaka, kalaka.
No.
That's duration.
That's duration.
Duration. Not lift, don't do that.
Yep. All right, we're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
Side story, and I'm here to say I was a kid that was driving that Model A. It's got a Lincoln motor and it's really souped up, and that Model A body makes it look like a pup. It's got 12 cylinders, uses them all with an overdrive that just won't stall. Got a four-barrel carb and dual exhaust, 411 gears.
It's the Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Remco along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But I was just reading a text message here from one of our listeners that had an old Silverado with the plastic intake gasket on that Vortec motor, similar to what Rapid Ray got on his van, and when they decide to go, they just go. Yeah, so, but they'll seat for a while before they do that. But make sure someone checks that close, Ray. That's if I had to guess, that's probably what's causing your problem. And they can leak internal too. They don't have to leak outside; they can leak into the motor. So.
Right.
Watch your oil and all that kind of stuff. Make sure it's not getting in there.
Well, if it's just leaking down into the intake, then it would get in the oil, and you should be able to see a white milky deal in the motor oil and or more oil.
Right.
You know.
Well, and the bad part is it may be such a slow process that you don't really see it.
Right.
You know, because it can burn off. It's going to burn off some of that water.
It burn off some of it. If it's a slow leak, but the real thing is if it starts bleeding back into your exhaust or into the into the exhaust ports,
but in
most cases it's probably going to get into the intake and go down and go into the cylinders and be burnt.
Right. You know? So you know it's you should get some white smoke out if you do that, but you know like I say you can get it to actually seep by and just get into the valley and it runs straight into the crankcase. But it can be in such small quantities that the temperature of the motor burns it off.
Yep.
Well,
you know, a lot of people don't realize that's why we had PVC valves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it how that worked, and same thing applies to back in the day when we had like carburetors on everything, and we were getting excessive fuel down through our cylinders due to the carburation lack of total control.
Right.
And therefore, it would get into the fuel, but as long as when that oil gets hot, it's going to boil that, burn that gas off, boil it off, and the PVC will help pull it out.
Right. Which, you know, nowadays we have our fuel-injected motors, you know, typically they'll start setting check engine lights and all that before you get too much in there because...
We don't have that severe of a problem now with the fuel injectors.
Right.
Stuff. The carburetors, were the real culprit back in the days.
Now we've actually... starting to have with our high pressure fuel pumps, they're mechanically driven off the camshaft on most cars, and they can leak internally into the crankcase. So occasionally we get one that's been leaking in and causing fuel to get in oil. Your first indication is that it'll set a rich code.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's got too much fuel. It's trying to pull it out. Well, what it's doing is that fuel vapor is getting in the crankcase, is pulling out through the PCV and burning it, and it's making it a rich mixture. So, so you got to be careful.
Well, you know, I got a service engine light on my car today and scanned it, and it's got a code in it for a couple of cylinders of lean. But then when you say that, then that could cover a lot of territories. I mean, it could be an oxygen sensor, could be and probably a vacuum leak.
Right.
You know, and so we're going to have to take it back to the shop in the morning, and they're going to put a smoke machine on it. Hey, ain't that cool? Going to set my car on fire. We're going to put smoke it up anyway.
Yeah.
But you could set hook it into the vacuum system and let it run, and wherever the leak's at, that smoke's going to start coming out of it. So
yeah,
you can pinpoint that.
We do that quite a bit, especially with our turbocharged cars.
You really have to have it with them, don't you?
Yeah, because what happens is we'll take it loose right at the air filter, and we'll introduce the smoke into that part of it. And so it goes into the whole intake track, into the intercooler, and back to the intake. So all your charge air pipes and everything get checked.
Okay.
And what we find a lot is that, you know, the intercooler's one of those things they put down at the very bottom. And there's a whole bunch of people out there that haven't learned that, you know, you don't pull all the way up to the parking curb, you know, when you pull up. Because the lowest thing up there is the front air dam or something up there on the front of the car. You never get to the tires. So you need to back up just a little bit and stop short.
You know, so you're doing the damage to your car yourself.
Yeah, you can easily damage that your radiator, your front air dam, your intercooler, any of that kind of stuff.
Right.
And if you break something there, not only are you not getting the boost from the turbo like it should, you're also introducing air into the system that is not measured properly by the mass airflow.
Right.
So, and normally you get, you know, it's seeing the air being pulled in, but that air is not making it to the motor, so you end up with a rich problem instead of a lean problem because that air is not making it all the way to the motor. So,
well, you'd think your O2 sensors would start rattling and raising.
Well, that's one of the first things that, you know, it's going to set a mixture code.
Right.
And you may set an underboost code. And there's a lot of things that can, you know, barometric sensor codes, map pressure sensor codes. Of course, the map and map sensor is one of my pet peeves. I wish they would just quit selling them to people over the counter because anything that makes that car run bad can set a map code. You know, it's manifold absolute pressure code. And if it's not running right, what's your key indicator? It's going to change the vacuum on the motor.
Right, right.
And if the vacuum's not right, it's going to set that map code. You know, that does not mean that the map sensor's bad.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Right.
That means that you have another problem that is setting that code most of the time.
Well, that's where people at the box stores are buying a lot of parts they don't need.
Right. Right.
Because that darn code checker gives you that code, and it gives you a map sensor code. Okay.
Yeah, we have one come in the other day that.
They had
been to the box store. They read the codes. They come in and bought a map sensor from our parts department. And, well, guess what? It was still setting the map code. Well, he wanted a parts warranty the map sensor. Thought it was bad.
Oh no!
He was like, no, that's
that
not
don't work.
What the problem is.
No.
Yeah. What we need to do is we need to check it out and find out what the real problem is and correct it from there.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to convince people that, well, they already read my codes. Well, the codes are great. Yeah.
Code gives you an area to go to.
It gives me something to go look for.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. All it is clues. You know, if you just think about it, is that, you know, the car is trying to give you clues as to what's going on with it. It's not going to just pop up and say, hey, here I am, this is it.
You know?
It's going to say, well, I got this and this and this going on, you're going to have to figure it out from here.
Right. You got to start backing up from there to find out what else is not sending the correct signal.
Right, right. Yeah, the cars don't like to play fair. Yeah, they're going to give you almost enough information to find out what's wrong with it, and you got to decipher it from there.
They cost you a lot of money if you don't define it specifically of what you need. Mm-hmm. I'll bet you there's 40 to 50% of the oxygen sensors that are bought this day and time and put by do-it-yourselfers and put on these cars didn't need it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they don't fail that often.
No.
Yeah. You do get one that's lazy once in a while. You do get them to fail every once in a while, but
it's so rare.
Normally, it's not a big deal,
right? Yeah. But something caused that up the line.
Normally, yeah, it's just like catalytic converters; they fail from time to time. Rarely do they fail without something causing them to fail.
Right, right. Yeah.
You're usually going to have an oil leak, oil consumption, or something creating it. But you know. That's the subject for a different
time. Coolant, et cetera.
But it looks like we're running up to the end of our show. I want to thank everybody for listening to the Car Doctor Show. And keep Ed Seafood Shed in your thoughts and prayers. They'll be back serving their food.
People. They are coming back, they are good people, and they're under the gun right now with their place being burnt down and on top of a pandemic.
Yep.
You know, so what in the hell? But for all of our first responders and all of our vets out there, from what's old vet, hurrah.
Wound up and she's running like I never before. There's a speed zone ahead of it, all right. I don't see a cop in sight. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. I got me 10 forward gears on a Georgia overdrive.